Hi, everyone. I'm Scott Branley.
And I'm Alicia Coakley. Every member of the church has a story to share, one that can instill faith, invite growth, and inspire others.
On today's episode, we're going to hear how one woman's diligence in following the word of wisdom helped save her husband's life. Welcome to Latter-day Lights. Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of Latter-day Lights. We're so glad you're here with us today. We're really excited to introduce our special guest, Ellie Essig. Ellie, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
Doing great.
We're good. I'm a little tired today, so I went heavy on the concealer. I'm just like, woo, not enough sleep last night, which I'm sure you're probably going to reprimand me for what we're talking about today. Huh? I assume that's part of our story, but well, yeah, for sure. I am super excited. I always like to tell our guests tell our listeners how our guest came to be. You know, sometimes we go to a fireside, sometimes we know someone who has a story. Other times we have people that reach out to us. And this time it was different because my best friend, Jess, she loves following you on Instagram. She is like all about health and just, you know, living in such a way that can really like strengthen your body and heal it and everything like that. And so she's been following you for a while and she happened to see somewhere on your Instagram, I couldn't find the post myself, but where you were open to going on podcast and to talking about your experience and stuff. And so she messaged me and she's like, you need to check this girl out. I was like, okay. So I go look and I sent you a message and you got back to me almost right away. I honestly did not think that you were going to get back to me right away or maybe even at all. I was like, oh, she's probably just like doing her amazing thing out there. But you did. And so I'm so excited because we have not had a story like this yet. And we haven't been able to have conversations like this yet. And so there you go, guys, like to our listeners, if you know someone who has an incredible story, like, let us know. We'll reach out to them. We'll ask them. And who knows, maybe they'll be like Allie and they'll be sitting here. So I'm super excited. But before we get into all of that, Allie, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I live in the Washington, D.C. area, technically in Arlington, Virginia, but it's so close to D.C. I used to work in Capitol Hill on Capitol Hill. I used to work for a congressman for years and years. My husband works as an attorney and his office building is right by the White House. In fact, when we go to visit him at work, it's my kids all love to look out his window and see all of the guards that are on top of the White House with their guns dressed in black.
Wow.
It's really fun. We've lived out here for 15 years and this is our home now. We love it, but we're both originally from Centerville, Utah. And so we, have the Utah ties, but have really made DC our home.
Wow. And how many kids do you have?
Yeah. So we have 6 kids, they're about 7.5 years apart. The ages right now are between 12 and 4, but we had twins at the end. So that's kind of how we got them all here so fast, but it's fun. It's loud. It's chaotic. It's crazy. And especially in DC, everyone, whenever I walk around, they're like, wow, you have your hands full.
Right.
It's a party. It's a party.
Have you ever taken a tour of the White House?
Yeah. So that's another benefit of living here. You always have friends. So we've done the typical Christmas tour multiple times where you get to see all the Christmas decorations. And then we've had friends take us through on private tours where we got to see the Oval Office and all of the really neat parts of the White House. So yeah, it's great.
That's awesome. It's so cool. Yeah. Oh man, I have been dying to take my kids to DC. I went way back in the, I cringe doing the math. I don't want to do the math. But anyway, I was back in middle school and I went to DC and I remember it had such an impact on me, just the history, especially going and seeing the graveyard of all of the soldiers and in the Holocaust Museum. Like that was so powerful. And I just thought every person in America needs to come to DC. Like we should just make it a requisite. Like if you live in America, you have to go to DC at some point and you have to see some of this history and some of the things that took place and some of the, sacrifices that were made. Cause it was It was amazing. I loved it. It kind of like was the thing that sparked my love of all things history and whatever else. So I'm a little jealous. I'm a little jealous you get to be there. I'm not jealous of your traffic. Jealous of your history.
we definitely pay the price. In fact, a story for another day is being stuck in a motorcade when I was in labor about giving birth, you know, and that's how it is out here. There's always motorcades that come by, block all the traffic because something's going on. And
oh my gosh.
Birth to my child in the car. So the traffic.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh no.
I made it to the hospital, but barely.
Just oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That is insane. Well, with that, we are excited to hear a little more about your story. And it takes place in the DC area. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we will give you the floor, Miss Allie. Go ahead and take it away.
Awesome. Well, we, you know, are just like any other standard American with six children. and my family and I, you know, were born in the church, and my husband actually was called to be a bishop right after my twins were born. So we had six kids. I had twin babies. It was chaotic. He's an attorney. And you know, once the babies were around 9 months old, I got a knock on the door that I'll never forget. I was actually in the shower and my neighbor was knocking on my door, on my bathroom door. I was like, Allie, your husband's on his way to the ER. You have to come out. And so I hurry and get out of the shower. And there's all these thoughts racing through my head. Like, was he hit by a car? You know, what happened? Like, what's going on? And she said he had tried to get a hold of me. Obviously, I was in the shower, so we couldn't. So we called her. She had raced over. My door was open. She came inside. And she didn't know the answer either, but just said that he's on his way to the ER. I tried calling, and his coworkers had left all these messages and said that something was going on with his vision. Something was terribly wrong. They weren't sure what it was. So I luckily was able to leave my children with my neighbor, and I raced to the ER. I remember opening the door to the hospital and scanning the room and then seeing my husband that didn't really even look like my husband slumped over in a wheelchair. He was only 37 years old, but he looked like in that moment, like he was 80 years old. And I could tell immediately in my heart, as soon as I saw him, that he was having a stroke. His, you know, the side of his face and eye was kind of slipping down. And it's just like instantly in my heart. That's what I knew, but I still questioned it. He questioned it. We didn't know what was going on. And so it took hours and hours of tests and more tests and more tests to find out what my heart knew in that moment. And my husband was told that he had a stroke and it was affecting his vision. He had just been sitting down in his office one day at work when all of a sudden started seeing double. And he came out of his office, like the thought really came to his mind, I don't want to die in my office, so I'm going to come out. Because it wasn't just the vision, like something else was going on that he could like tell was serious. And his assistant saw him and was like, oh, immediately called 911. And so that's kind of what brought us to that point. And I remember thinking a million times, asking the doctor, is this because of stress? Like, could this be caused by stress?
Yeah.
And the doctor was very clear. He said, you know, stress can exacerbate something, but there's already like things that are going on. There's already something going on inside your body that stress can definitely exacerbate, but that's not the root cause. So they ran more tests. They tried to figure out if it was his genetic history, if he had a heart arrhythmia, if he had a hole in his heart, if, you know, there was some type of explanation why a 37-year-old would be having a stroke. And everything came back negative. Like everything said that, you know, no, there was no genetic history, no hole in his heart, no heart arrhythmia, like nothing. We almost wish that there was, because then we would have gotten some type of answer of understanding, but there was nothing. So then in the hospital, they give you this piece of paper that basically says, we don't know why you had the stroke. We don't know what's going on, but we do know that from here on out, you're at a much higher risk of having another stroke. And so it's really important for you to follow a heart healthy diet, especially considering how young you are. Now, my husband's not overweight. not like that much overweight. I'd say we both gained the twin baby weight when I had twins. and we had been following actually the typical macro based, like high protein diet to lose weight. And it had been working. We had both been losing weight. He had just recently lost 15 pounds. And so I immediately thought, like, but wait, we're eating healthy. Like, we're eating healthy. Why? Mm-hmm. I don't get it. And you know, you sit down, you kind of meet with a dietitian, but all of it sounded so confusing and I couldn't quite grasp what a heart healthy diet meant. And on our piece of paper, it said, from here on out, you need to, you know, stop smoking, stop drinking. I'm like, well, we weren't doing that. we should have been protected because we weren't doing that. But they also said you need to avoid trans fat. You need to avoid saturated fat. You need to avoid cholesterol and eat more fiber. And those names are not foods, right? So it was hard to know, how do I apply this? Like, what foods am I really avoiding? How do I actually put this into practice? Yeah. And so we came home from the hospital, you know, we're just kind of figuring life out, you know, like my husband still had the double vision. He couldn't drive, he couldn't work. So we're just, you know, it took a couple of months to kind of get our foot on the ground just to function. And then, you know, we would often question, like, what does saturated fat look at? It's in peanut butter. Does that mean we shouldn't eat peanut butter? Like, we were confused. Right. And so, right, like anyone would be. So we decided to go to the temple and to kind of figure this out and spend some time researching on our own on what, you know, a heart healthy diet really is. And when I went to the temple, and at the time the Washington, D.C. temple was closed, so it was a 3-hour drive into Philadelphia and, you know, then a 3-hour drive back home. And as we're driving there, you know, I'm doing some research on a couple different things and found out that, you know, the number one source of saturated fat in the American diet is actually cheese. And, you know, the second one is beef. And my husband was like, you know, I could give up like red meat easily, but I don't know if I could ever give up cheese.
Right. And, yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Especially like in our faith, right? Like, it's just like part of our culture. It's like, you bring the cheesy potatoes. You have your taco night with all your cheese. Yeah. That's crazy. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I know. That's just kind of how we felt. But we go into, you know, into the temple, and I just felt really strongly at the time that I really needed to follow the word of wisdom completely. And I was reminded too, as I'm sitting in the temple, really praying about what to do, my dad had actually passed away of a heart attack a couple years before this. And he didn't get any warning. He had his only heart attack. There was no warning heart attack. And I had wished at the time that he had a warning. I had prayed, like, why did you take him away without giving him a chance to change? And I'm sitting here in the temple realizing, like, we have this chance to change. I have been given this second chance that my dad never did. And so I, as the one who's cooking the meals in the home, I decide in this moment, like, God, you tell me what to do and I will do it. And it was just follow the word of wisdom completely, like 100%. And so I open the word of wisdom in this lesser room and I'm like, it says to eat, like, to that we should be eating wheat. And I was kind of confused because I thought, like, gluten was bad, you know, like there's so much nutrition confusion in this world. And then it, you know, there's some parts that are definitely confusing. And so,
right.
So I took it home, pondered, I prayed. And as we do more research, you know, and as I'm telling my husband what I'm learning and the impacts of saturated fat and cheese and all these things. And he's like, okay, I think I could give it a try. And so we stopped eating as much dairy. Right. And then, so that was kind of the saturated fat aspect to me. Once I found out, okay, it's just a lot of cheese and dairy and then red meat. And then when it came to trans fat, I was like, well, that's a lot of fried foods. Sometimes it's naturally found in animal products as well. And then the cholesterol is going to be, you know, like the typical eggs, but cholesterol is not as important as the saturated fat and the trans fat. Like, cholesterol has more of a less impact. My husband actually, though, didn't have that high of cholesterol. It was like 175, which over 200, just to give you some perspective, over 200 is considered high. So he was still in that medium zone. It wasn't super clear. He was just kind of medium high. And anything below 150 is where you're in the safe zone. So then I go deep and I'm like, what are people eating who have cholesterols that are below 150? And it really goes back to these diets that are based off of more fruits and vegetables, that people are active. And so I realized that, you know, we're told to eat more fiber in that heart healthy diet description. And at the time I was like, that's fiber one bars. Like, what is fiber? Why is it down? What is it? And I learned that fiber really is only found in plants. That if you, you know, and that 95% of Americans are deficient in fiber. The only 5% of us are eating enough fiber. And really that basically means that we all need to be eating more fruits, vegetables, but not just fruits and vegetables, more whole grains. So it goes back to that, like, you know, whole grains, as I was reading the word wisdom, more legumes, more beans, right? More nuts and more seeds. And as I was diving into the word of wisdom and I'm searching it, and it's like, you know, we should be eating fruit in its season. And while we live in a modern day that I don't think you necessarily need to be eating in each season, I'm learning about what hunters and gatherers really do eat, like how much fiber they actually would be eating. And the Hazda tribe is one of the last known hunter gatherers. And while they do eat some meat, they actually eat, you know, around 600 varieties of plants every single year, where the average American is eating 50 varieties of plants, right? And they're eating over 100 grams of fiber a day, where the average American is eating 15 grams of fiber a day. And that if we were truly hunter-gatherers and really eating in the season thereof, we would be eating just more diversity of plants, right? Where we'd just be eating a variety and more than we are eating now. And as I'm looking at the whole grains, I'm realizing that if you really do include whole grains, and at the time, you know, you think that carbs are bad, we should avoid carbs. But if we're eating actually those complex carbs, those whole grains, and whether it's wheat or quinoa or oats or whatever it is, or even whole grain rice, that it can reduce our chance of getting a heart attack by 30%. And wow. Considering that heart disease is the number one killer in America, that's huge, right? And so I'm seeing all of these truths in there that were confusing at first, but now I'm seeing how nutrition and timeless nutrition is really backing it up. Not these dietary trends, but timeless nutrition. As we're eating a diversity of plants is going to help protect us from all these different types of diseases. And it's going to help strengthen our body as well as, you know, help reduce our risk of it, you know, even just inflammation or whatever it is that people are talking about now, that we really need to make sure the plants are a priority.
Right. So how long were you like researching all of this stuff? You know, how long did it kind of take you down the rabbit hole?
Right. It took me, I would say it was a solid 6 months of just researching on my own. And then, ironically, as I was researching, and I following different, accounts, and, someone on Instagram, Dr. B, what we call him, who wrote the book Fiber Fueled, which I love that book. It's so good. But he had offered actually, for any of his followers, you know, a giveaway that was, if any of you, you know, enter in your information, then you can win a certification course through, Cornell, where you can basically learn this plant-based certification or get this plant-based certification. So I entered my information thinking like, oh yeah, like these are just Instagram giveaways. I'm never going to get it. And then I actually won it out of all the people. Wow. So I was kind of thrown into this world. And as I was studying and learning more and more about these foods and how, you know, it can help prevent disease from cancer to diabetes to heart disease, you know, and beyond, and how eating more plants is key. And you don't have to be a vegan. So, and that's what I always go back to in the word of wisdom too. It says eat meat sparingly. And I always question that my whole life. I'm like, why does it say that? And why do none of us follow it? Right. Like, right. Because I feel like it sparingly is limited, right? It's not the center of every meal. It's more like the side of the meal or more occasionally. Right. Mm-hmm. And that never made sense to me until I took this course. And as I'm learning and sitting, and it was during 2020 when all of my kids were home and it was crazy chaotic. Like I'm potty training three kids at once. Right. Because I have my twins. It was insane, but I found so much strength and happiness as I would go to take, you know, do studies in this course. And I'll never forget just sitting on my couch and learning about these plants and thinking, I want to share this with the world. Like I want to shout this on the rooftops that if we truly follow the word of wisdom completely, we can really have the health that we're looking for, in the sense of it can help reduce our risk of so many of these chronic diseases. Doesn't mean that it's going to completely go away. I mean, we still could eat a perfect diet and get cancer. I'm not saying that, but it can reduce a lot of suffering that many of us are experiencing.
Yeah. So let me ask you, because I mean, especially as a mom with kids, sometimes it is so hard to, one, get the kids to eat the stuff, right? Even if it's stuff right. that they love, like you could be like, why don't you want to eat macaroni and cheese? You eat macaroni and cheese every day. And now all of a sudden it's disgusting, right? So like there's always that huge battle. But how do you go from, you know, whatever it was that you were feeding your kids before? And I'm sure it probably wasn't bad per se, right? Like right. I, you know, we try as moms to incorporate that little food pyramid, right? Like our, you know, like here's your meat, here's your vegetable, here, right? Mm-hmm. But how did that look for you, like transitioning to this new lifestyle? Right. You know, how did your kids take to it? I don't know. I have a lot of questions, so I'm trying not to ask them any ones. So let's just start with that one.
I would even add adults in there because I have a hard time finding.
Yeah. And like, maybe what's like a typical like meal, like a day of meals look like type of, you know, like what do you,
right.
do you do? I don't know.
Well, let me start from the basics. So I also, after getting that certification, I went back and I actually decided to become a nutritionist and I went deeper into classes and school. So there was a lot that I tried on my own and there's been a lot that I've actually learned through deeper education. But as far as what we did, I just stopped buying meat and cheese at the grocery store. I just stopped buying it and I used up what we had. My kids love chicken nuggets and mac and cheese. That was my typical go-to. like most, you know, and no judgment here. I was one of you, like, I get it. And it's hard. And what I've learned through a lot through my courses and, you know, through my certifications is that all food has value. So if you are a mom that's feeding your kids this, there, you know, there is no moral worth that's associated with food. There's no good and bad, right? All food will keep you alive if you were stranded on a desert island. Like, isn't that wonderful? You know, like if all you had was chicken nuggets, you could stay alive. So
even if they're a week old and found underneath the car seat, you know, like
exactly. Totally. 100%. So like no judgment at all. But you know, if you have a strong enough why, like we had the strong enough why where it's like, I want to reduce my husband's risk of having another stroke. Like we're at high risk. Right. And so I kind of developed three principles. Number one, I wanted it to be easy and it seems so overwhelming, but I chose to mentally let it be easy. I'm like, no, I'm going to make this easy. So what was easy for me was I just stopped buying meat and dairy at the grocery store and I used up what I had. Now, my kids would ask where the chicken nuggets and I was like, oh, I'll get some next time I go. You know, it wasn't like, you're never going to have them ever again. You know, like, it wasn't this like, no, I just wanted it to be casual and easy and not dramatic for them. We had gone through enough drama with my husband's stroke and trying to figure all these things out. And so I just tried to be more creative. So I used to eat cheese quesadillas like every day for lunch. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to use up what I have. So what do I have that's just as fast, that's just as easy? And I would open up a can of beans and open up some salsa and then make it like a burrito out of that instead of cheese quesadilla. Most of my kids would eat it. But then what I learned is that lots, like kids need 15 times to be exposed to a certain food in a certain way. So if you give your child broccoli, you know, most Americans give up after 5 to 6 times. But if you give a child, you know, broccoli 15 times, but then one of those times it had cheese on it, that actually counts as a different food. So you have to give it to them the exact same way 15 times before they are actually going to be more willing to try it. And I have seen that. I totally see it. Well, I have one very, very picky eater and it's amazing what she's eating now. I'm not saying she's perfect because she still is far behind her siblings who will still eat everything, but she's eating a lot more just because of the consistency. So then I started telling my kids, okay, if you don't want the dinner that I made, you're welcome to make your own food. I'm not making 2 dinners. And so sometimes they would make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Sometimes they would grab cereal and that was okay. Sometimes they'd grab an apple or carrots or whatever. And I was okay with that because I wanted it to be easy for me. I was going through enough stress at the time.
Right.
And then how do you make your food taste good?
Yes.
So again, it goes back to the let it be easy, right? So I would make the exact same recipes that I was making before. I didn't want to start something new or try something crazy. We really loved cashew chicken. It was a go-to recipe we'd always make was this cashew chicken. So instead of using chicken, I just would swap it out with chickpeas. And, you know, at first you're like, it's not as good. But then like, you get used to it. Like, it's familiar. And now, again, it's still a family favorite, right? So instead of mac and cheese, it took me a couple of rounds to try a new kind of sauce. But now I have this like tofu Alfredo sauce that tastes amazing. And my whole family loves it, right? And it's just as fast. Or sometimes I would even, you know, just buy like a vegan pesto from Trader Joe's and make that instead of mac and cheese. But whatever it took to be just as fast and just as easy, I would just kind of be a little creative. And it does take trying recipes that are going to be bad. But anytime you learn something new, like learning how to play the piano, you're going to be bad at it before you're good at it.
Right. And especially if you're me, I don't cook. So.
Right. Yeah. No. And you have to kind of find like what, and that's another thing too. I found even like going out to eat, what can we do? Cause we have pizza night every Friday. So what can I do that's just as easy? What can I choose? You know, we fell in love with Taco Bell because there's so many plant-based options at Taco Bell that I used to hate Taco Bell. I used to think it was nasty. But when you are choosing, if you go into Taco Bell, ask for no cheese, right? No meat. There's actually some really tasty, delicious foods. You can ask al fresco, just whatever it is, be like al fresco, no cheese, no meat. And they add in some tomatoes, they add in some yummy things to it. So the things you learn, I was like, oh, there's good options out there.
Wow. Right. And so what was your third? You said easy has to taste good. And what's the third?
Let it be easy. It can taste good. And then to just be open to it, right? I think sometimes we're so afraid of change that we are like, no, I don't want to change, but let it be open to trying new things, be open and be willing. I think it takes that willing personality. And that's why a lot of people don't change, because they have a spouse. Like, in fact, a dear friend of mine, her dad was diagnosed with colon cancer, and the doctor was like, you have to eat plant-based, right? Like, you have to do it this way. And they tried for a week and he was like, I don't care. I'd rather die early.
That's my right? dad. Yeah. And no, my dad has diabetes and he will have 10, I'm not exaggerating, 10 to 15 popsicles a day. Oh, my sugar's going low. I'm like, Dad, that's not what you do. He doesn't care. He's like, that's fine. I'm just going to die, you know, whenever I'm going to go. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But you know, it's true. There are some people, and that's, you know, it's like people who jump out of airplanes. Like, they like that thrill and that rush. Right. So if there's people that have that desire to get their thrill from food, you know, I guess that's the beauty of life, right? Like, we have our choices. And so it's nice to know that we have options.
I was gonna say, the option doesn't have to, like, I think we assume that the option is, you know, just going to be terrible. It's like, you start to learn to play the piano and you're like, I don't want to be a terrible piano player. I don't want to play. Right. Like, we assume that first experience is going to be the experience forever. And truthfully, the way I cook plant-based is a lot more delicious now than it was the first week or two. Right. And most importantly, all of my husband's cholesterol numbers went down. His triglycerides went down. His blood pressure went down. He got his vision back after 5 months. Wow. He got his vision back. And for us, that was like, it was worth it. You know, if you're healthy, you have all the wishes in the world, but when you're not healthy, you only think of one thing, and that is getting better. And for him to be able to see was key. And he was willing, he was open for the change because of the benefits that we were hoping would come from it. So you kind of have to get to that point where you're like, no, I will change. I can do this.
Wow.
I was just going to say, it's very hard to add plants into your diet if you don't eat them already. Like,
yeah.
Is there any tricks to add more plants or yes. fruits to your diet?
Yes. So number one, I always tell people to grab the fruit or vegetable when you want a snack. So that helped when we stopped buying like snack foods at the grocery store too. We had a bunch of fruits and vegetables on our counter. You want to see it, right? So when we are hungry for a snack, it's like, it's so hard mentally because you want to grab the packaged thing item, mm-hmm. right? You want to grab something that's fast, but grab the fruit or vegetable first and the packaged item. So I would say start by counting how many fruits and vegetables you're eating. The World Health Organization has told us to eat at least 5 a day. And it's not as hard as it feels. But even what's fascinating, if we all went closer to 7 to 8 fruits and vegetables a day, it would actually prevent 7.1 9 million lives annually. Like there's a huge amount of benefit that could come from us just adding more in. So it's not about taking away, but adding in. So first off, when you want a snack, grab that apple, grab that orange, grab the banana. Second thing is to preload on vegetables. So before your dinner, cut up a veggie tray or cook your vegetables first, have them done first, put them out, let everyone eat them. When you're hungry, you're willing to eat anything, right? And so eat those vegetables first, like almost ruin your dinner by eating those fruits and vegetables, and anything works. Like even if it's just grabbing an apple, you know, preload on an apple before, anything that's like 100 calories or left is considering negative calorie preloading, meaning that if you eat this fruit or vegetable first, then you're more likely to eat less during your following meal because the fiber will help keep you full. So it's, again, it goes back to the gospel. It's like when we put Christ first in our life, everything else kind of seems to fall into place. You know, if we make him a priority, first thing we do is we wake up, we read our scriptures, you know, we say our prayers, and then your day just kind of goes off better. And when it comes to like the natural law of food, if we also prioritize those healing and wonderful fruits and vegetables and eat them first, then everything else kind of falls into place. Then you'll overeat less, right? You'll be less likely to overeat. If you reach for the fruit or vegetable before your packaged snack, if you, you know, just simply add those in, you would be surprised. And then lastly is to just like look at your meals, whatever you're eating, and think, how can I add another fruit or vegetable to this? So a lot of it is maybe add in a fruit to your dessert. Even just like adding blueberries to your brownies is going to significantly reduce the sugar spike and help prevent, you know, some of the negative consequences that can happen inside your body. So you don't have to hide these fruits or vegetables. I would just say add them to what you have already. So it takes this mental preparation, just like it. Someone who's not a member of our faith joining our church, who's like, how do I read my scriptures first thing in the morning? You know, it takes some like mental thought and prep beforehand.
Right. Wow. So what's a typical day look like? Can you give us an example of like you get up and you know, like how often are you eating and what do your meals look like with your six children? And, you know?
Yeah. Right. So I will say, we swapped out our milk for kids, the soy milk, because soy milk is the most comparable to actual milk. It has all the vitamins and nutrients that they need. It's better than almond milk. My husband drinks almond milk, but that's just kind of a quick tip if you have young children, that soy milk is actually the better choice because it has more fats, more protein, very nutrient similar to actual milk. So we have, the kids can choose oatmeal or cereal. I don't mind cereal because it is fortified with iron and other things that may be a little bit lower on a plant-based diet. So I'm okay if they have cereal for breakfast. I have oatmeal and I tell my kids to try and add those blueberries because anything that's blue is going to help your brain. So if you add in the blueberries, it can help your brain. You can think more clearly. So adding in those blue colors are really good for your, so if they have a test coming up, make sure that they know they eat their blueberries. And they can add that to whatever they're eating. In my oatmeal, I always like to add in more vegetables. So at first I was just eating regular oatmeal with some peanut butter and some cinnamon, because what I've also learned is that spices have more antioxidants than any other foods when you look at them ounce per ounce. And so just adding a dash of cloves or a dash of cinnamon is going to significantly increase the amount of antioxidants that are in your foods. So I add cinnamon, cloves to my oatmeal, some peanut butter, a little bit of maple syrup, so it actually tastes good, and some soy milk. You know, I've mixed it up. I've also add frozen riced cauliflower to it because you don't taste it, but, you know, as long as you mask it with the peanut butter, it adds another vegetable. And then I'm always eating berries in the morning. So always berries in the morning with all of us. And then a typical lunch is, again, when I was eating before, but just tweaked a little bit. So I'll have like a wrap with some hummus. A salad, right? So it's like a salad wrap. So I'd use the hummus instead of like my chicken in the past. Or I'll have, you know, just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for my kids when we go out to the park with an apple and banana. Like it's nothing fancy. you know, like it's just the basic things. Or a lot of times I have leftovers from dinner for lunch. And then dinner is, again, what I was making before, but I've slowly, after about, I would say a year of eating plant-based, I started cooking more with tofu. In the past, I was scared I didn't like it. You know, it just takes time. So sometimes I'll add in more tofu, but for the most part, we use beans instead of the typical like meat source. And so we'll make Thai food. We make a lot of Thai food. We make a lot of like Indian food, a lot of different cultures. And I have make an amazing lentil lasagna. Like it's so good. A lasagna soup that everyone loves. And you would never know that it doesn't have, I bring this lasagna soup to like every function and everyone always comments on how good it is. They have no idea. There's no meat or cheese in it. So there's a lot of things that, you know, you just have to experiment
with. Oh my goodness.
What about smoothies? Do you do smoothies?
Fruit smoothies? Yeah. In fact, so everyone does it a different way. I love smoothies. My kids will ask for smoothies. So I'll, you know, throw in all the good stuff, put in some healthy fats for them because younger kids need more fat than they actually need protein. Like fat is the number one nutrient for young kids. So I do a lot of flaxseed, you know, some avocado, some peanut butter, and kind of throw that into the smoothie. I don't love smoothies, but I do use smoothies for like an energy drink. So in the afternoon when I'm feeling like I need a little bit more of a boost, I'll actually use frozen orange juice concentrate with some pineapple, with a stalk of celery and a big handful of spinach. And I'll mix that up and I'll store that actually in my fridge. Now, the reason why that helps is because number one, even orange juice can actually help your blood vessels to be more flexible. It's really good for strokes. Like if you have had a stroke, to help things be more open and flexible. Second is the leafy greens. When you consume leafy greens and you eat them in your stomach, it forms what's called nitric oxide, which is then going to tell your arteries to open up. So it's like another lane in traffic. When you're sitting in traffic and another lane opens up, then your blood can move more smoothly. That's what's going on inside whenever you're eating leafy greens. And then, you know, eating like even pineapple can help to just give you a little bit more of that natural energy. So if I have that 3 o'clock lull, I'll take just a cup of that type of smoothie to give me a little bit more energy. But it's all these things that I've learned over time, right? This isn't something that, and I post this on my Instagram just to kind of help other people through their process. But I tell people it's like baby steps. I'd much rather have you switch to a plant-based diet in a small, you know, baby step way instead of all in overnight, because if you go all in and you hate it, you'll give up. Right. And you won't want to keep going.
Right. So one of the things that I know, you know, anytime that we've tried to get on a health kick, right, in our family, we notice that our grocery bill just skyrockets because buying organic and buying, you know what I mean? It's like now all of a sudden we're spending all this money. But I see people doing it all the time, and I see people in all different financial categories that are doing it. People who make way less than us, people who make more than us or have more kids than us or whatever. So what have you noticed as far as like the financial aspect of following the word of wisdom? Have you seen a change or have you, is it just one of the sacrifices that you make?
No, it's actually saves us a lot of money. In fact, on average, the average vegetarian spends like $270 less a month on groceries. Because we're not buying, I mean, I buy eggs occasionally, but in general, I'm not buying meat. I'm not buying dairy. And those are the two most expensive things in your grocery bill. Like, can you imagine right now, if you just cut that out? You know how cheap beans are? Like they are so expensive. That's like a major source of protein. And so even tofu, when we do buy it, it's so cheap. But I'm always hesitant talking about tofu because people are like, I don't want to do it. I'm like, that's okay. Yeah. You'll get there. Don't worry. But like beans in general, I can buy a bag of beans for like $2 and cook it in my Instant Pot, right? And I have food for the week. Like I have those beans or you can freeze them. I mean, it's so inexpensive. It's ridiculous how much money we do save. But I'm also not buying a bag of fishies, you know, goldfish crackers. I'm not buying fruit little gummies. I'm not buying like all these little things. I'm buying the actual fruit and the vegetables. Now, if you go to the store and just add in the fruit and vegetables, you'll see an increase. But when you start taking out the meat and dairy, that's where you see the decrease. So it is both. Like you have to kind of, if you want to see the savings, then we do need to start eating meat more sparingly and you'll save so much money.
Right. Well, I love that you said to add it in. Cause there was a book that I read once that talked about the importance of starting new habits, but starting them by adding them to habits that are already formed. You know, like, for example, they were like, oh, if you're, you know, maybe you are a terrible reader and you're just like, I don't know. I don't know how to read a book. Sounds crazy, but you know, you get up and you go to the bathroom first thing every morning and you spend 10 minutes in the bathroom, put your book by your toilet and then just read a couple pages. Right. And so they were talking about how, you know, to attach it to something that you already do. And then eventually you can start detracting those bad habits because you already have something that you're like used to doing in place. And so I really love that you said that, because that it does feel less overwhelming thinking, oh, okay, like I don't have to change everything right now. All I have to do is just add more, you know. And I like how you kind of mentioned like the gospel in that, right? Because it's so true. It's like, we don't have to change everything overnight. I mean, it would be great if we were able to do that, but realistically we're human and we're flawed. And so it's going to take us some time and it's going to take a lot of practice and everything. But just like the gospel, like we don't have to all of a sudden be great at doing our genealogy and living the word of wisdom and reading our scriptures and having family home evening and, you know, like we can just start by being like, you know what, like maybe instead of listening to music on the way to school in the morning, I'm just going to listen to my Come Follow Me lesson. You know what I mean? Maybe instead of watching one more episode on Netflix, I'm just going to flip the channel over. I'm just going to watch like a conference talk or something, you know, whatever it is. So it feels more doable by thinking about, let's just add something good instead of trying to take away and replace right away. Right. Like I really, really, really love that a lot.
You're going to be eating dinner. Like, it's not like people don't eat dinner. You're going to be eating anyway. And so maybe once a week, just decide, okay, on Wednesdays, I'm going to cook what I would cook anyway, but I'm going to look up vegan lasagna recipe. You know, I like, that's how I just started doing. I just started searching vegan, you know, shepherd's pie, vegan, whatever it was that I would use to cook. And so just to get ideas, you don't even have to cook it, but just to get ideas, you know, to see, oh, that's how you would do it. Or you use cashews, you like, you know, blend up cashews and that's a cashew cream. And you would use that instead of like a whole cream in your soups, you know, like just kind of start to learn, like, what are those swaps? What are those go-to swaps? And then you can easily make those swaps. Or, you know, like, how can you just tweak what you're already doing? Because you're going to be eating anyway. We're not eating, right? I'm not telling you you're not doing.
Right.
What about time, Allie? Do you find it takes more time to cook this way or less time or what?
Right. At first, 100%. I'm not going to deny the fact that it, you know, you have to think outside of your box. So again, just like learning a new skill, it's going to take a little bit of time, but then it does become second nature. So I'm at the point now, it doesn't take any extra time than what I was doing before. Opening a can of beans, in fact, is so much easier and faster than marinating my meat, right? And so like I make a Sunday pot roast, for example. I make a Sunday pot roast just like I did growing up, throw in all the things, but I'll you know, do it with mushrooms instead. So it's even faster and even easier. Sometimes if, you know, every once in a while I will cook with those, like the plant-based meats and throw that in. But in general, I'm saving time because I'm not having to like really flavor and season meat like I was before. But what does take extra time is chopping up all the vegetables. So you can buy little things. I have like a chopper that saves me a ton of time where I, you know, on Amazon, where I just like chop my veggies super quick. And it's learning something new that takes time, not necessarily the cooking process. It's the, how am I going to do this differently than I've done it before? But it's not that much more time consuming, especially once you get into the habit of things.
Yeah. What are some of the changes that you've noticed in your family? Like, especially like with your kids, right? Because I feel like that's where the true results lie sometimes, is like, how are our kids behaving and looking and acting and whatever?
Oh yeah. No, my husband, he's so good at pointing it out. He's like, look at our children right now. They're all eating salad. All of them, you know, he's so good. Like they're all just sitting there so happy eating their salad, or they're so good at eating those fruits and vegetables. I will say when you know, a friend offers them another treat, oh, they're all over it. It's not like they're like, no, I can't eat that, or they don't know. They're excited to have the other standard American treats. But They are eating a lot more fruits and vegetables. They are like way more than they used to before. It's kind of amazing. And even if we do have someone drop off a treat, I'm always like, your fruit or vegetable first. And they're good. They'll eat it. They know it, you know, they know the routine now. And they'll go in waves. Like I have one son that's like, I hate vegetables. And then the next thing is like, I love vegetables. So it's, you know, they go in waves. it's not perfect, but it's the amount of fruits and vegetables they're eating now compared to where we were before. It is pretty cool to sit back and look and be like, wow, they are like, they really are eating more. And you have to think why does that matter? Like, yes, they're getting more fiber, but as you're, you know, doing more research into these things, it's like, wow, you know, eating bell peppers can help reduce your risk of prostate cancer, and eating cauliflower can actually help your eyes, and it can help reduce your risk of breast cancer. And, you know, like as you're understanding how amazing these foods are, then you really are like, okay, yeah, this is worth it. This is worth my time and my energy. Yeah.
Do you feel like it's helped with your testimony, just learning about the foods and the way that it has effects on our body, and like how perfectly, because I know when we talked on the phone, we talked about how like certain foods will do good things with other foods, and how sometimes they'll counteract. And that was the importance of having a variety, right? Like you said, like 600 different fruits and vegetables or something like that. And so how has that helped with your testimony?
Right. So the variety thing is, I'll answer that and then go into, they did the biggest study known on the gut microbiome. This huge study was called the American Gut Project. And what they found is that those who had the healthiest gut microbiome, and you want a healthy gut microbiome, because that also means you have a reduced risk of chronic disease overall, because your gut is connected to so many things in your body. But they found that those who are eating a variety of 30 different plants every week, regardless of if they eat a little cheese or meat, if they're eating a variety of 30 different plants a week, they have the healthiest gut microbiome. And so that variety is key. So adding in all those plants. And what's interesting about the word of wisdom is just the word wisdom is often referred to as Heavenly Mother, like often, you know, like it's a female kind of in scriptures, another name for Heavenly Mother. And when I think of all of the plants, and when I think of the earth, and I think of even just Mother Earth, right? Like when all religions kind of believe in this concept of Mother Earth. And if I were a mom, you know, in fact, I had this dream once that I was stuck on this other planet. Like somehow I was sent to this other planet. Stuck there. And by the time I could get off of this planet, my kids would have, you know, died, like because of the whole time change continuum thing. And in my mind, I thought I would rather just be a spirit and be able to see their life, to not even be alive and be able to see their life and be a part of their day in, day out, than be stuck so far away from them. And in that moment, I thought that must be how Heavenly Mother feels. That I think that part of Mother Earth somehow in some way that it is connected, and that all of these plants and all of these fruits and vegetables that come from the earth are here to heal us, are here to help us. It's her serving us in so many different ways. And all of these, you know, as you dive into just the benefits of, you know, just your typical garden vegetables that you're growing, it's astounding to see how incredible these whole plant foods are for your body and what a gift it is. And so when I think of word of wisdom and I think of Mother Earth and Heavenly Mother, and somehow in my, you know, I feel like that's all tied together. And then as we're eating more of these whole plant foods, that we are being nourished by our Mother Earth and we are strengthened. And while I understand that a lot of us have, you know, our determined lifespan, I get that, you know, you could eat in a perfect way and have the perfect diet and still die young by even just being hit by a car while you're crossing the street. But I do believe that if we eat a healthier diet, we will find more joy in this life. We will have more energy and we'll be able to accomplish our divine purpose. That we'll be able to fulfill our mission here on earth because we're not hindered down by this fatigue, or we're not hindered down by these other, you know, like other things that can prevent us from accomplishing our divine mission. So I think it's all connected in this beautiful way, especially as more and more I dive into the word of wisdom.
That's awesome. So beautiful. And like, seriously just touched my heart when you talked about that. Cause I get what you're trying to say. It's like, you know, something's there, but you're not really sure what exactly that is, but we don't talk about Heavenly Mother very often. We don't know very much, but it feels right when you're, you know, relating her to like having this word of wisdom and having this nourishment. And like, of course, she would be a part of nourishing us somehow, right? Mm-hmm. Like that just makes sense that Heavenly Father would put her in a place where she can help with that nourishment. And if we're created in their image, then, you know, naturally, like there's got to be something that is pure and that is beautiful that we're able to take part in that can still connect us with our Heavenly Mother. So now I've literally never had that perspective before. I feel like, oh my gosh, like if anything, I feel so excited about just that little tidbit right there.
Right. I feel like I don't know the answer to all things, but if I was a mom, I would want to be right here. Even if my kids had no idea, I had no idea that I even existed. I'd rather be right there with them day in, day out, nourishing them in some way, right? Helping them in any way that I could. And so I just love that out of all words to describe the word of wisdom, that it is wisdom, and that wisdom is connected with, you know, another way of saying Heavenly Mother. So it's kind of neat.
Wow. Interesting. So the insight I got from that is to be in the world, but not of the world. Because it does feel like the world is like the food we eat is so processed. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything is processed and made just to, you know, to give us the biggest satisfaction hit. I don't know what you'd call it, but like convenience. Yeah. And it just seems very worldly. Like if you compared that to, you know, to nature's, to what nature gives us, right? There's a comparison there. That's interesting. My other thought was, so do you guys eat meat? Like how far do you take the extreme? Like, do you take it to an extreme?
Right.
So what do you still do?
And this is where I feel like it can be different for everyone. This is where I really love the beginning part of the Word of Wisdom, where it's like, this is just a kind of a suggestion, right? That it's not like everyone has to eat in a specific way. This is not a meal plan, right? For all of us, kind of some general guidance. And so for me and for our family, what we have found that works for us, and it may not work for everyone, is I just don't buy it at the grocery store. I don't buy meat at the grocery store, and I don't buy dairy at the grocery store unless it's for a special occasion. So if one of my kids, it was their birthday and they're like, I really want to have this, then I'll buy it and cook it. But it's very rare that I actually cook meat. We will eat meat or dairy at a church event. We will eat it if someone drops off food at our house. We will eat it if, you know, someone is living with us and they want to make a meal from, you know, that they love. Like, we will eat it. When we go out to eat, when we go on a road trip across America, I usually try to choose one just because I feel better. Like if I don't eat it, especially when it comes to the fast food version of animal products, I would rather choose like a vegetarian option because it feels better in my body. But if that's the only option, I'll eat it. Right. So it's kind of nice that it's not an allergy. It's not like I have a gluten intolerance and I literally cannot have, you know, I have celiac disease and cannot have it. I don't have that. So I can, in the sense of gluten, but with meat, we can be flexible. And for me, it just made it easier just to not buy it at the grocery store because it saves money. And it kind of sets this line that makes it so it is more sparingly. But we do partake when someone else gives it to us. But more than anything, I really try to avoid, and I suggest for everyone, there's just so much research that shows that avoiding processed meats, like if you're going to cut off somewhere, The World Health Organization has classified processed meats as a group one carcinogen. So to reduce your risk of colon cancer, to reduce your risk of other cancers, it really is important to let's avoid the beef sticks. Let's avoid the even like beef jerky. Let's avoid even just the deli meats or the hot dogs and the hamburgers. Not saying that when we go camping with friends, my kids will eat hot dogs if they're available, but it's not something that I'm buying regularly in my home. Mm-hmm. You know, so that is like, if you're going to cut anything off, try to, you know, cut off the processed meats, the salami, that when you're getting pizza, maybe not order pepperoni pizza, just those small little tweaks can make a bigger difference when you look at the aggregate, you know, the amount that you are eating when it comes down to it.
Yeah. So if someone is really inspired and they're like, you know what, I want to start somewhere, but I just feel so overwhelmed. What would you say would be like a really good start for someone who wants to gain that and that information, but maybe doesn't want to become a nutritionist like you? Maybe they're like, I want to know enough to to know what the heck I'm doing, but I feel so overwhelmed because there's so much out there. There was a book that I read. Oh, I can't remember the name of it right now, but it was incredible because they were talking about how the government has all of this connection to these big, you know, food production places and things like that, and how like they'll tell us that we need certain things, but really we don't need those things. It's just because there's like a kickback. And I don't know the background, the
conspiracy
truth of all of that
theory.
Right.
I'm sure there is some truth to it for sure.
Right. I'm sure. I mean, because that's just the way that Satan works sometimes, right? Like he's got those secret combinations. And so, you know, I've read this and it was crazy when I thought about it because I was like, there are definitely some things that don't line up. They like don't make sense, you know, but it felt overwhelming because I was like, how much of this do I believe, you know? And so where would you direct someone if they were just starting out and they literally didn't know anything at all about anything?
Right.
What would you say to them?
I'm actually glad you brought that up because in the Word of Wisdom, it talks about conspiring men. And I think it's not people doing it on purpose. They're like fulfilling their jobs, you know, but if you look at the amount of scientists it took to make a Dorito, you know, and all of the, to get you addicted. So you're not just going to eat one, you'll eat multiple Doritos, right? That they're conspiring, not because they are evil people, but I think they're conspiring because they want you to buy more. The purpose is not your health. The purpose is more food. And I worked on Capitol Hill. I met with a lot of lobbyists. I was a legislative assistant there, and I know exactly what you mean. And if you look at it, the amount of lobbyists for junk food, the amount of lobbyists for, you know, for animal products compared to the amount of lobbyists for fruits and vegetables is remarkably skewed towards the animal product industry. And even if you just look at Canada's dietary guidelines compared to America's, you'll see where, you know, like on America's, there's always the dairy off to the side. It's required, right? Where if you look at Canada, where they actually are doing it based off of research and based off of what, you know, the research is showing, it looks a little different and dairy is not required on the plate, right? So in that sense, there's definitely a part of it. But again, I don't think that it means they're evil. I just think that there is a way that is profit over health, right? And there's a lot of subsidies. I could go on and on. Like I said, I used to work on Capitol Hill. But I think it is interesting as I studied the Word of Wisdom that conspiring men, really, it wasn't just meant for Joseph Smith and making, you know, your own sacrament wine or whatever. I think there's so much more into that phrase, if you really wanted to dive into it. Now, the second part of your question was what, you know, for someone who's listened to this and feels inspired to make a change, I would say, find your why. Because when you make a bad meal and you want to give up, just like I go back to learning to play the piano, I've tried to learn to play the piano a few times. I never had piano lessons growing up, and I just didn't have a strong enough reason to keep going and strong enough why to get through the hard. So find your why, like, why do you really want to do this, so that you'll keep practicing, you'll keep going. And then I would say, start with the basics. So I always tell people, start with your breakfast. How can you make your breakfast a little bit, like, how can you add berries to your breakfast? What can you add into your breakfast? And then once you feel like you have that down, go to your lunches. Because most people eat breakfast on their own. Most people eat lunches kind of on their own. So it's a little easier. And then go to your dinners, right? So start with your breakfast, your lunches. Maybe now for your snacks, you're adding more, eating your fruit first before your packaged bar. Just pack more of those. And then when it comes to your dinner, I would just start with meatless Mondays. Just commit to one meal a week. Start with meatless Mondays. And I would cut out, if you can, like all of the processed meats first. So what's the low hanging fruit here? Cut off the processed meats. You know, maybe instead of using sausage or whatever it is, like it's the process that those meats go through. Also cut off anything that's grilled or charred or smoked, because those have a higher risk of cancer as well.
Barbecue's my favorite. No.
Or just occasionally, right? Occasionally.
Right. I live in Texas now.
Alicia's like, I just moved to Texas.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
My face did a whole thing just then.
Like, what are you saying? But it is interesting if you look at the research that any of those grill marks or the smoking of meat, it does produce what's called HCAs, which is a carcinogenic compound. So it does increase the risk of cancer. So So avoiding these smoked, grilled meat products. If you're going to eat meat, make sure it's like boiled instead, or more of like the, you know, and you're made in your pot roast is going to be a safer to eat for you instead, just to reduce your risk overall. Wow. And then like, you know, pray about it, ask for strength, make sure the whole family is okay with trying one new fruit or vegetable, and don't tell everyone that you're like, we're going to do this forever. Just slowly add in varieties.
Right.
Wow. Cool.
Man, it's so much information, but it has been really, really good information. I know, when we spoke on the phone, we talked about how I ended up having this bariatric surgery or whatever done, last year. And so now my diet has to look very different because I do struggle with malabsorption and with getting all of those nutrients in and stuff. And so I was really curious because I'm like, how do I make this change when, you know, my body's not what it was before? Or you mentioned people with like celiacs, you know, disease or something like that, or maybe someone who has some other type of food allergies. And I think that it is important, like you were saying, to make sure that you do pray about it, that you do trust that inspiration that you're given by the Holy Ghost, but also that you seek wisdom, right? That you continually try to understand what's truth out there and what's available to you. You know, like obviously tofu was not something that was available, I don't even know what, 100, 200 years ago. I'm not sure how long tofu's been around. But it's not something that they would have been able to use in the Word of Wisdom now. But just because it's not in there doesn't mean that you can't have it now, right? Yeah. And so we know that the Word of Wisdom was written for all of us, but it was also written at a time where they didn't have all of the resources or all of the knowledge. And mm-hmm. so I think it is really important that we do read that and reread it and pray about it and get that knowledge for ourselves so that we have mm-hmm. more tools and resources at our disposal for Heavenly Father to give us truth through. Right? Like he's not going to explain algebra to us if we don't know basic addition, right? Like we're not just all of a sudden going to be like, and there's all the answers, you know, like we're instructed to seek wisdom. And so I love that that's something that you did. I love that, that there are so many people out there who have such a big why that they've made this a part of their lives and that they've been open to sharing it with others. Cause I think that that really plays into a part of our purpose here on this earth, right? Like it doesn't mean we all have to be the same. It's just when we learn and grow and we get that wisdom and we get that truth, I think it really is important for us to share with others. And so thank you so much for coming on today and for sharing that with all of our listeners. Before we sign off, is there anything else that you'd like to leave with us today?
I think, number one, like change is hard, right? Like anything, and honestly, changing your diet is harder than changing your religion because you're eating three times a day. And so, yeah. You know, like I recognize that it's hard. And when you're looking at change, I want you to look at it in the way that we look at the gospel in this life, that all of this is part of our growth, you know, and how can you grow? How can you be a better person through this? What can you learn? What can you grow? How can you impact others? How can you serve others, you know, as you're making this change in your life? And so, you know, be open to it, be open to change. I know there's a friend of mine who was diagnosed with cancer and just like, didn't even want to change her diet because it seems so overwhelming. And I just say, just be open, like be okay with being open that how that can help you grow to be a better person, right? To learn the lessons that you came here down to earth to learn. And honestly, changing food is dumb and simple as it seems. And like, but it really can help you grow more than you think spiritually, you know, and then it's not just about the physical change that can experience, right. It can be the spiritual change. And just like your taste buds, after 10 days, your taste buds actually switch over and you change. Hmm. And so what foods you don't like now, you'll be shocked at how much you'll love later on. And so just be open. I feel like I have this door that's there's this magical world that's behind this door. And all you have to do is be willing to open it. But so many people are just so afraid. They're like, no, I want to do what I know. I don't want to change. And just be open and okay to let yourself grow into what you can become through change.
Yeah. When I was writing my book, I found an article that talked about how, men and women in the church, the men live on average, I think, 9.8 years longer than the normal man. And women live about 7.4 years longer. And I think part of that's, well, a big part of that's because of the word of wisdom, just not smoking and drinking, right? But if we can do some of these other things, I think that can help us to be healthier longer. You know, we can have a better standard of living longer in our lives. And it's hard, but I think what you've said is, you know, makes a lot of sense. It's just, we don't think about it very often until we're forced to. My dad died a year ago, almost exactly to now, with a heart attack, his first one, just like your dad. And so I just went and got a calcium heart scan, which is a cool new technology that I didn't know existed. But they just put you in the scanning machine, and they can actually check your heart and all of your arteries and everything, and see if there's any blockages or clogs, or how much each artery is clogged. So there's some cool things they can do with technology, and that. But you know, we do need to take care of our bodies and find that why, so that we can find the desire to eat healthier and live healthier. So thank you so much for sharing all this great wisdom with us. We really appreciate it.
Definitely. You're welcome.
Well, tell our listeners real quick, if they are interested in following you and learning more, because obviously, like, we only hit the tip of the iceberg today. Where can they go? How can they find you?
Yeah, no problem. So I am on YouTube, where I share some of my recipes, because again, I want to make this easy and I want to make this fun. And sometimes just seeing someone else cook the recipe is like, oh, that's an easy swap. So I'm on my business is called Plant Wise. So PlantWhys. And then I'm also on Instagram, where I share tips and more of the knowledge, you know, based information, the scientific information with on there as well. And I also would love to give your listeners, I have a membership that where people who want to eat plant-based but don't know where to start, I basically developed a roadmap of what I wanted when we were going through it, you know, what would have been nice for me to have all this information. And so I'd love to offer a 30-day membership if anyone's interested for free. And so you can reach out to me, or I can give you the link so that they can have that too.
Awesome. Oh, well, that is so kind of you, Allie. Thank you. I'll definitely be hitting you up on that. Oh, very cool. Well, thank you again for joining us today. I really, really appreciate everything that you've shared with us. I'm looking forward to checking you out and seeing what kind of recipes I can incorporate with my family and how I can get us a little bit healthier and stuff like that. So to all of our listeners, we want to thank you guys as well for tuning in to another episode of Latter-day Lights. Guys, we love hearing from you. Go ahead and drop a comment and let Allie know. If you guys have a question, I'm sure she can check it out and she can kind of point you towards resources. So if you want to drop a comment and just let her know what part of the show really had an impact on you or what questions you have for her, I think that would be awesome. Be sure to go look her up on YouTube and Instagram and follow her. And if you guys have a story to share, don't forget that you guys can definitely apply to be on the show as well, or you can even suggest someone to be on the show, and we're happy to reach out to them. You can head over to LatterdayLights.com, and at the very bottom of the page, there's a contact form there, or you can comment on any of our videos or podcasts, you know, wherever we're at. We're on all the places, so you guys can go ahead and comment that way. Let's see, Scott, anything else?
Yeah, let's just help get Ali's message out there. Let's help get people healthy and live longer and live a better life.
Yes. Do your 5-second missionary work.
Go hit that share button. That's what we call it.
Yep, exactly.
Cool. Well, thanks again, Ali, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. We are more than happy to have you come back. Maybe next time we'll have you make us some meals and send them to us.
I'll send you a cooking show.
Yeah, exactly. You'll have to come up with a new way to barbecue. Barbecue without the grill.
Barbecue those vegetables. They're still just as good.
There you go. Awesome. All right. Well, we will talk to you guys later. We hope that everyone has a wonderful week. Until then, see ya.
See ya.